Welcome to everybody. My name's Stuart. I just realized I didn't say it at the beginning of the service. I have the privilege of serving and leading the team here at Jubilee. And we're talking about it this morning. I've been here for 17 years, me and my family. And this is my my church family. I feel it's a good thing. I hope you feel the same. But this is our church family. At the outset, I want to say a massive thank you to all of you who've made today happen. There are lots and lots of people who've been here since early this morning, getting everything ready. Catering for over 300 people is no small feat. It's quite a difficult thing to do well. And we've been having an annual church barbecue for the past 15 years, I think it is. And it hasn't once rained us out. There was one year where it rained just before we went out to go and have our food. By God's grace, we've always had lovely, lovely weather when we've been doing that. Now, each year we try something a little bit different. We do a little bit of a twist. We've had ice cream vans pull in and different things like that. And this year we're going to have, as part of our meal, smash burgers. And if you don't know what a smash burger is, I'll tell you what happened. Pete Felgate volunteered his services, which included his wife and Hannah and Charlie and Maisie, to make 300 quarter pounder meatballs. Okay, and so they were here the whole of yesterday. I did wash the, did check. They washed their hands and they get cooked properly afterwards. But they made 120 gram meatballs, and basically these get put onto a griddle, and they got these huge cast iron weights that get smacked down onto the burger, hence smash burger, and it splatters out into a disc, and it's very, very tasty. The mince, just so you know, is from Waitrose, and it's well spiced, and they tried it out with the youth on Thursday evening, and the team that was playing with me, we went and had dinner with him, and it was super nice. So that's one of the things. Rob Breen has made 6 kilograms of boerewors, which is translated as farmer's sausage, and it's a South African thing. So he's made those. We're going to try those today. I want to let you know that no UK barbecue would be complete without burnt pork sausages. We're not going to give you the burnt pork sausages, but am I allowed as a South African to make a joke about the Brits and the barbecue? No. But we are going to have, we have got 350 or whatever pork sausages as well. Good news for those who like chicken. We have got chicken thighs, but I've got to admit, I'm really sorry. I know it's better bone in with skin, but we have a dog. I'm sorry, and we don't want chicken bones in our garden, so we have gone boneless. And you can't get it boneless with skin on. So we are going, I'm sorry, it's the best we could do, but we have got some chicken today, okay? And then you'll be glad to know we have got some vegetarian options and some salads and all sorts of things like that, and it's going to be good out in the back. As Louise said, even if you didn't let us know you were coming, you're welcome to be here. So massive thank yous. All those people who've prepared, all those people who are cleaning up afterwards. There's a life group that's going to stay afterwards and clear up after we've all gone home. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But a reminder, today is about enjoying primarily, it's about worshiping God and enjoying each other's company. The barbecue is not our premier food event of the year. We don't think of it that way. All we think of it is it's a stake in the ground. It's part of our church calendar. We say, eating together is something that's really important for us as a family of believers. And we want to do that in lots of other places, in other contexts, in our homes, and things like that. Jesus often ministered deeply to people around times of eating and drinking together. It was modeled by Jesus. And sometimes we differentiate these things and we compartmentalize it. Jesus ministered to people. He ministered to people at a wedding where he made the best wine that they tasted at the wedding. He ate with people all the time. And today is a reminder for us, this is part of our DNA. Okay, so this morning we're going to have 3 segments to the preach. It's a bit like our church barbecue. There's lots of little bits and you can try different things and you can leave the things that you don't want and go for more of the things that you do fancy. It's a smorgasbord, as it were. And this morning, the preach is going to be a little bit like that. We're not going to have just one preach. It's going to be 3 little segments. The first one is the video from Joe and SJ. And then Jamie's going to bring us God's word. Jamie's an evangelist. He'll bring us the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And then I'm going to try and wrap it all up at the end of it. So over the next few months, Joe and SJ, who are a couple in the church, we're going to see a video from them, are going to do this creative stream. And Joe is currently playing golf in Scotland, so he's not here today at the church barbecue. Feel very sorry for him. Yeah. But let's watch what Joe and SJ have got to say to us.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Joe.
And I'm Sarah Jane. And together with our three daughters, we've been part of Jubilee for about 4 years. And we're recording this today, as unfortunately, you won't get both of us at church today.
And we really hope you're having a fantastic time and you're enjoying the barbecue at the end of the services. And as you can imagine, as somebody who does love a barbecue, I'm feeling very sad not to be with you, but instead I'll be hacking my way around a golf course in Scotland. But really, we wanted to spend a few minutes sharing with you our heart for creative worship at Jubilee. And actually, looking back to the autumn, Terry and Linda Fouché had come over from the States to visit us, and they gave us a challenge, really, that we shouldn't limit our times of worship on a Sunday morning to just being the sung worship element, and actually how can we creatively express our worship and our praise to God. It's something that's been we've been mulling over together over the past few months, and again how we can express ourselves to God in times together and respond to him in different ways.
So God is the original creator, and each of us carry that creative gene within us, whether we exercise that regularly or not. So there is so much opportunity for us to explore our faith in different mediums. And if anything, it will give us a break from Joe and his four chords on the guitar.
That's very rude. I'm not sure I'm happy with that. But anyway, especially so actually when we look around us in the church family and family that we do have, it is just so evident the richness of creativity and talent really we have amongst us. And there's a chance really for all of us to get involved. So over the next few months, we plan to get together as a group of people to, I guess, express ourselves and interpret the theme of the Lord is near together in a range of different forms.
So this is a theme that came up from our time studying the book of Philippians together, if you remember. The Lord is near, and it's something that Stuart and the elders have decided to explore further over the summer from different parts of scripture. So it's a really exciting theme because it's really broad and there's lots of possibilities to come at it from different angles and unpack it in different ways creatively.
So the idea is that over the next few months, as we hear the word of God being preached on the theme of the Lord is near, that we'll collectively and individually respond in a range of different creative ways, the fruit of which we hope will be shared with the wider family during the autumn time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, it might be on a Sunday morning, to use my wife's very rude assertion that I just play four chords, we might not hear that on a Sunday morning and instead hear perhaps a spoken word or somebody sharing the photography or artwork that they've produced over the next few months. Or even as a tent, we might break away from those four chords and we might sing a song that we've written specifically for us at Jubilee to be singing as a group of people.
That'd be great. So we would love to see writers, artists, poets, actors, actresses, dancers even, videographers, computer whizzes, photographers, songwriters, sculptors, all sorts of people using their giftings and sharing them with the church community.
So if you're excited about this idea, as we really, really are, we'd love you to join us on the evening of Monday, the 10th of July. We want to get together. We want to cook up some ideas. We want to be inspired and we want to really kickstart this. An informal time to get together to plan and dream really about the possibilities of what this could bring. So just to end, I'm going to hand over to SJ, who's got a little spoken word poem to finish us off.
Okay. There is a holy creativity in you. The image of the original creator, the mirror of the most masterful artist, brothers and sisters, let it be understood. It is in your blood. And yet too often we don't worship wholly, our wholly offering a handful of songs we sing, our own creating, writing, performing, scarcely touched since we were in school. But what if that spark never died? Instead, it was something we had cast to the side. What if, given a chance, it could burst into flame, inspire us again, and glorify the one who had first sown it into our very DNA? So the invitation is come. Pray, play, babble, dabble, glean and dream, for there is a holy creativity in you. Let it out, lift it up, and let us see. God bless you.
So good. She's out in the back. Oh, amazing. I'm going to get my paintbrushes out. I haven't painted since I was at school. I paint rubbish. But anyway, there's a bit of creativity. I thought, oh, there are things that we stopped when you were at school and you don't do them. And actually, they were quite fun. Anyway, the purpose of it is to bless God, to worship God, and to look at that theme of the Lord is near from a creative perspective, to encourage each other in it. And then I think just to have some fun, to do some things with a different group of people that you wouldn't normally do around God and his ways and his character. So that's what we're going to be doing. Also as part of that, if you can memorize that passage that we get that verse, the Lord is near from, which is from Philippians 4 verses 4 to 7. If you can go to your life group leader and you can say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Are the words going to come up? They are. Okay. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens? Peace of God. It's incredible. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a great verse to memorize. Okay, so if you can memorize it and you go to your life group leader and you say it off by heart, your life group leader will give you a chocolate that Ben has bought him. No. Ben won't buy anybody chocolates. I will get you a chocolate. We'll give your life group leaders a stash of chocolates. We're not talking about little heroes. We're talking about a bar of chocolate or a proper chocolate. And go memorize that. Go to your life group leader and you will get a reward. Okay. It's a bit of fun, but actually hiding God's word in our hearts is a very, very important thing. Memorizing scripture is key. Right, so that's the first part of the smorgasbord. Jamie, why don't you bring us God's word?
Good morning. Can anyone else just smell out the back? Oh, my days. If you hear someone's tummy rumbling beside you, don't blame them. Don't blame them. Cool. So this morning I'm going to be looking at two verses from Revelation, Revelation 3, 19 to 20. I want to ask you, usually, do you remember when you ordered something? I say back in the day, I'm not that old, but back in the day, when you ordered something and you were sort of expecting it might arrive within 5 to 7 days, and once it got to that 5 to 7 days, it was like every knock at the door, you're like, the parcel's arrived, the parcel's arrived. Well, nowadays, it's like you can track it the whole journey from China right to your doorstep, every single step, even Deliveroo is like you can see the cyclist moving along and you're like, okay, you know when to get up out of your sofa to go and get the door. So we're going to look at someone who knocks at a door this morning. Just before I read this scripture from Revelation, I think it's important to read Revelation 1:3 before we read this, because it gives us a little bit of instruction before that. It says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Let me pray quickly. Father God, we thank you for your amazing goodness and your amazing faithfulness. We thank you for your word and how rich and good your word is. May you speak to us this morning through the power of your word and of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So a little bit of context. This chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, is part of a letter that is written to a church in a place called Laodicea. Laodicea was a place in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And during chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, there's seven letters written to seven different churches. These letters are from Jesus. They are the words of Jesus. And in each of the letters to each church, Jesus commends each church for what they're doing well and also rebukes each church for what they're not doing so well and to help them up a bit. Apart from the church in Laodicea, he only rebukes them. So these people are not in a particularly good situation. So Laodicea, what was it like? What kind of place was it? Laodicea was a prosperous trade route. It was very wealthy at the time. It had lots of had marble theatres there. Commentators say it was like the splendour of Rome at the time. And these people were so fixed. These people, remember, it was a church, were so fixed on these wealthy things, these earthly things that satisfied them temporarily. And they sort of put Jesus to the side. So let's get into the scripture. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 says this. These are the words of Jesus. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, these people were so caught up in their wealth, in their earthly things. Jesus could have just dismissed them and said, oh, you guys are doing my head and you just aren't up to the billing. I'm done with you. I'll go find some other people. But he doesn't. Verse 19 says, to those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Now, maybe if I say the word discipline, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's probably not love and joyful, and it's probably some hard work and pain. And for those who know me, I'm a footballer, and we're currently in pre-season, and this is the worst part of the season. Anyone who's a sportsman knows if there's pre-season involved, that word is not a happy word, because it involves a lot of running, a lot of fitness, a lot of hard work and pain you have to go through. We arrived back at a pre-season at my club 2 weeks ago, and the first thing we've done, pitch runs, which is one end of the pitch to the other in a certain time, back and forth 10 times, making you literally feel sick at the end of it. It's not a pleasant experience. But our coach knows that if we go through this pain barrier now, it's going to be beneficial for us in the season. See, Jesus has to take these people through a bit of discipline. And some of that is them realizing what they've done wrong. And they have to say sorry to Jesus for what they've done wrong. Jesus doesn't leave them to their own devices and say, oh, I'm done with you, all the best. He loves them so much. He loves these people in Laodicea so much, and me and you this morning, that he wants to help us through that. These people were not living for what they were made for. And Jesus wants to help them get back on track. So verse 20. Here I am, Jesus says. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. What are you living for? What were you made for? We read these verses. What does it mean, knocking at the door? Who is knocking at the door? Why are they knocking at the door? Well, I think we need to go back to the beginning. Back to Genesis 1. Where God was in the beginning. In the beginning was God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God created the world. He created the heavens and the earth, and he created mankind. He created mankind to love him and to love each other. But you cannot love without free choice. And sadly, we make bad choices. Mankind makes bad choices, and we end up resulted in a living in a broken world. But even though we stopped loving God, he never stopped loving us. See, he doesn't ignore our sin. He can't ignore our sin. That's not part of his goodness. But our sin needs dealt with. The wrong things we've done, sin, the bad choices that we've made, the wrong things we've said and done needs dealt with. And we deserve to face the punishment for that. But that's where Jesus comes in. See, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to earth to teach us a better way to live and to be our substitute. Jesus, this spotless human being who stood there, faultless, without sin, took my sin, took your sin upon himself and died on a cross with nails through his hands and through his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head. And he hung on that cross and died for me and for you. But the good news is this, that 3 days later, he rose from the dead victorious. Victorious. This is not just a historical story, but this is unfolding today, and we are invited to be part of it. You are invited to be part of it. Here I am, Jesus says. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. What were you made for? You were made to love God and love others. What does it mean, knocking at the door? It means knocking on the door of your heart, knocking on the door of your life. And who is it that's knocking at the door? It's Jesus, the Son of God, the rescuer, the savior of the world. I want you to know this morning, Jesus sees you. Right where you are, Jesus sees you. These people in Laodicea were so bombarded with earthly things and temporary things that they were trying to fulfill life and fill that hole in their hearts with all this, and nothing was satisfying them. And Jesus could have left them to their own devices, but Jesus seen them and had incredible love for them. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and feel like all this Christian stuff of getting right with God, I'll just leave that till later in life. I'll push it down the road a bit. I want you to know this morning, Jesus sees you this morning and wants a relationship with you now. There's a story in the book of Luke about a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was a small man. He was a little man. And Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming to his town. And he says, I'll go and see what's happening, see who's about. And he goes and he can't see Jesus amongst the crowd. So he climbs up a tree. And it says this, Jesus reached the spot and he seen Zacchaeus. Jesus seen Zacchaeus. Jesus sees you this morning. And he says to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus opens the door to him. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Don't ignore Jesus' invitation today. Don't put it off. Maybe today you feel broken and think Jesus wouldn't knock on my door. No. He'll just slowly walk on by, walk past the street. He won't knock at my door. Not if he knew what I have done, what I have gone through, the shame that I feel, he won't go near me. I want you to know Jesus knocks on the door of your heart today and he sees you and he loves you. Maybe you feel at the minute life's an absolute mess. Relationships are a mess. Job's a mess. Health is deteriorating. I don't need another thing to mess up and feel that. Listen, Jesus sees you and loves you and wants to help you right where you are this morning. Matthew Henry puts it beautifully in his commentary. And he says, Jesus draws near to the door, full of mercy. Full of mercy for you. So we've looked at who is knocking at this door. We've looked at what knocking on the door of your heart means. But why? Why is Jesus knocking at the door of your heart this morning? Why is Jesus knocking at the door? Because he loves you. He wants you to open the door to him and let him in. He wants to walk alongside you as you go through life and all its trials and tribulations. He wants to hold you close like a parent embraces their child. He wants to mold you to be who God created you to be. He wants to guide you as you navigate through life. He wants to give you hope. He wants to show you his marvelous creation. He wants you to experience a peace that is greater than any understanding. He wants you to know that there is nothing in this world that will separate his love for you. He wants you to know that he doesn't look at your past in disgust. He wants you to know, feel, and encounter the unconditional love he has for you. He wants you as you are. The question is, will you let him in? Will you let Jesus into your heart this morning? This piece of scripture in Revelation is the gospel message. A people who were made to be in communion with God, but a people who turned their backs on God and wanted to follow their own ways and try to fulfill their lives with something else. But God, in all his mercy and all his love, reached down to them, helps them, rescues them, and calls them to repentance. And an invite to the door to let Jesus in. That door is open to me and you this morning. Whether you've tried to fill your life with other things and fill that gap with other things to try and fulfill and satisfy you, but time and time and time again, it doesn't, and you're let down. I want to tell you, let Jesus in to your heart this morning. Maybe you've never let him into your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart this morning. Let him in. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me.
Love Jamie, and I love your heart for people and your love for Jesus and the fact that Jesus is good news. There's no one like Jesus. What a beautiful invitation. The idea of the Lord is near. God wants to be near, and he's banging on the door, he's knocking on the door, and he's asking, would you open it? There's incredible power in an invitation, isn't there? If you think about invitations that you've been given in your life, and accepting those invitations could have changed lots of things for you. Sometimes somebody said yes to go on a date with someone, and you said yes to that date, and now you're married to that person, you know? You didn't know that at the time. Saying yes to going for a coffee with someone, and over the years you suddenly become best friends with that person. It starts off as something small, ends up totally different. Know somebody who was invited to go and have a coffee with somebody in their workplace, and they realized, actually, I'm just doing the wrong job, and this would be a far better career for me, and they changed career off the back of going and having a coffee with someone. You may have been given an invitation to play a round of golf, and you get bitten by the bug, And then you miss the church barbecue because you're playing golf in Scotland. See where it leads you, you know? I remember, I know it's a long time ago, but I remember vividly, vividly, vividly. In fact, we've got friends here today who know Steve Mann, who I'm going to talk about in a moment well. But what Jamie spoke about, the gospel message, a guy shared that with me when I was 15 years of age, and I made a decision to open the door as Jesus knocked on the door of my heart and my mind. And I had no idea what saying yes then would mean down the line. I said yes to a simple invitation, and then God, in his grace, made everything known as time went on. I didn't know everything at that moment in time, but I said yes. And I'm so, so grateful to be a follower of Jesus since the age of 15. My wife, Louise, she said yes to a date with a friend of mine called Alan. He was a moron. he was a friend. He was a good guy, actually. But she said yes to going on a date with this guy, with Alan. And then Alan was in our youth group. And Louise then came to our youth group. And over a period of time, she heard the gospel. And there was a moment where she heard Jesus knocking, and she opened the door. I changed everything. And you look back and you think, wow, a simple little decision there. Not as simple, it's a big decision, but the effect down the line is unbelievable. I'm also incredibly grateful that she broke up with Alan and then down the line said yes to an invitation from me. So very, very grateful. Leah is also very grateful for that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here, my darling. I'll stop at that point. I could really embarrass her now, but I will stop. Okay. I was praying and asking the Lord, what do you want me to share this morning? Because we had a broad brush idea of what we were going to preach about, and Jamie had a particular passage that he was going to look at. And only on Friday, something happened to Louise and I, and I just felt God say, this is a side illustration that will help unpack some of what Jamie has brought so well to us this morning. So it's a picture, a metaphor. It falls very, very flat in terms of the, in comparison of saying yes to Jesus knocking on the door of our heart. But our youngest daughter, Jade, works during her university holidays at a members club in Henley. And it's Henley Regatta. We like rowing. We would love to go to the regatta. And her boss gave our family complimentary tickets to go into the members club and have a meal and all sorts of things at the club. Now, Leah, our eldest daughter, she's a conscientious first-year teacher, and she didn't call in sick on the day so that she could go to Henley. She went and taught her little darling children. And I commend you for that, but you missed out big time, girl. Louise and I were able to change our diaries a little bit, and we went. But you know, the weirdest thing was, we got this invitation. We've been to Henley before. We love it. But we undernarred a little bit. Yeah, do we take it? Don't we take it? And here's the ticket that you get, and you pin it to your blazer, because you wear a blazer and a hat, and Louise looked like $1 million. And we went to it, and you wear this little tag, and this gets you into everything, okay? And yet we didn't pay a penny for it. It was a gift to us, and yet we benefited greatly from it. And you know, it was as we pulled into the car park, we went into the VIP parking, and we showed our little badge. And as we pulled in, I think we've got a nice car, but as we pulled in, Louise turns to me. I'm a bit of a petrol head. She says, "Have you noticed?" I said, "Yeah, I've noticed." Because I'm just looking around the car park, I'm thinking, man, there are some very, very, very nice cars parked over here, and then us. so charming. Feel a little bit of a fake coming in there, okay? But it was free. To me. And as we walked past security, we were greeted well, and we had access to everything that was there. It's an expensive event to go to, and we actually felt a little bit like frauds as we were going along, like, will they know that that we didn't pay for this? Anyway, Later in the day, we went to the restaurant and into the ballroom, and the ballroom had 300 people per sitting, okay? So it's a lot of people. And as I got to the door, there's a young man standing there, and he says, "Mr. Otto." "Yes?" He says, "Follow me, please." And I still don't know. I need to ask Jade, how did he describe me to the guy that he, out of all those people, walked straight up to me? It'll be something rude, like, I mean, there were other bald guys, I know that, but I still don't know how she described me. Anyway, he invites us, and we go sit down. Table, not getting super spiritual here, table number 7. And we sat there, just a picture of God's grace and kindness. A table for two, flowers on the table, and a pianist playing beautiful music right next to us. It was just absolutely wonderful. 3-course meal, lovely. Are you, anybody feel a little bit jealous? Okay, it was lovely. It was lovely. Okay. An unexpected day date with my beautiful wife. A good fun time. And as I said, we felt a bit like frauds, a little bit out of place. We didn't pay for anything. But you know, it was paid for by somebody. You know, in the newspaper this week, they said there's no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, did you see that headline? There's no such thing as a free lunch. It's been paid for by somebody. I just happened to be the beneficiary of that. And I hope you can see, without me explaining too much, the parallel with what Jamie was talking about today. And as I say, this falls so flat because this is just about a day at Henley, as lovely as it is. We've got somebody who's rode Henley in the room as well. So it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to be at. But it falls so far short of what Jamie is talking about, Jesus knocking at our door and offering us salvation and invitation to repent of our sins, to acknowledge our sins, to accept Jesus' forgiveness, to be in relationship with Jesus. That invitation, that matters massively. And the Bible is full of invitations from God. There are so many. In fact, Jesus, I think this is true. Jesus is the greatest inviter of all time. Jesus is the greatest inviter of all time because Jesus invites everybody. For God so loved the world. It's a pretty big thing. Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus invites us to so many things. I could go on and on and on. Come to me. Listen, yes, here's one for you this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Anybody feel weary and burdened at times? Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Why? Because the Lord wants to be near. He wants to be with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And when we get an invitation, it's a sign usually of being wanted at something. It's a sign of being included, of being loved. And we have the power to say yes or no. Okay? Or sometimes we even say yes and we get the invite and then we do a no-show. And that's even worse in some respects. But we need to make decisions. As Jamie was sharing this passage of scripture, there's a very famous painting, and I don't know who the painter who did it is, and I love this painting and also dislike the painting, and I'll tell you why I dislike it first. It's the painting of Jesus standing at a door with a lantern and he's knocking and there's somebody on the other side. And the reason I don't like the painting is the painting is one of Jesus looking very much like a Western man. And Jesus, if you want to have a picture of Jesus, Jesus wouldn't have looked like that. He would have looked Middle Eastern. And so we've whitewashed him in a way. And so that's the part I don't like about it. What I do like about it is the fact that if when you look closely, you'll spot on the side that Jesus is standing, there's no door handle. There's a door handle on the other side. And Jesus doesn't gate crash our hearts. He knocks on the door. He says, "Would you let me in?" And we have the responsibility to open that door to him. I know he's sovereign and he can do whatever he likes, but there's an element here of us giving him permission. Coming up to close in a moment, I just felt I needed to mention this as well. I love the fact that the people that Jesus invites are often the people that we wouldn't invite. You ever thought about that? When you're throwing a party, you choose carefully who you want to have at that party, and you choose very carefully who you don't want to have at that party. And Jesus does the exact opposite. And Jesus hangs around people that we would say, man, I don't know what he's hanging around with those people for. They don't deserve Jesus. And I love the fact that Jesus came and reached out to you and me, people like you and I. In Matthew chapter 9, can I have the scripture up? Jesus, just before we actually read this verse, Jesus sees this man. His name's Matthew, some call him Levi, but he's a tax collector. And Jesus invites this tax collector who's despised by people. In fact, they call them tax collectors and sinners. And some people would most probably say tax collectors are the same today. But, Jesus goes to this man and he gives him an invitation. He says, follow me. And Matthew follows Jesus. And Matthew throws a party. Verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were people who knew the scriptures. They should have known better. They should have seen Jesus for who he was. They should have understood the gospel from the scriptures. But they missed Jesus because of their legalism and their self-righteousness. They thought that they had it all together. And when these Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he hanging around with that riffraff? It was weird to them that Jesus would be after those kinds of people. And then Jesus said, on hearing this, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I'm happy to say I'm a sick person. I'm happy to say at the age of 15, I already knew, man, there was so much sin in my life, so much anti-God in my life, so much wrong in my life. And I knew that, and to repent and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior was a very easy thing in that respect to do. I was sick. I needed a doctor. And that's who Jesus came for. And he came for you and I. And he came for the very people who haven't got it together, because he's come to change us and make us the way he wants us to be. I hope that makes sense. I'm going to have to cut it short a little bit there. Jamie, won't you come up with me? I want to ask you this morning, if you are here every single Sunday at Jubilee, we have people who are believers, followers of Jesus, and people who are investigating, trying to find, is Jesus for real? And that's the way it works at Jubilee. But I want to ask you this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, to weigh up Jesus very, very heavily. Because it's not as frivolous as accepting an invite to Henley. The invitation, the knock on your heart, is massively important. And eternity is a massively important thing. Actually, I remember many years ago, it was actually the church barbecue, Ben Davis shared what Jamie shared this morning, slightly different way of doing it. And at the end he said, does anybody want to become a follower of Jesus, a Christian? Does anybody want that? Does anybody want to respond to Jesus knocking on your heart? And there was a single mum with three young children. She was sitting in the third row back. And literally, as Ben Davis said, come to the front if you want to become a Christian. She didn't even take the time to walk around the edges. She literally hurdled between the chairs and came forward. I'll never forget it. It was like a, man, I'm not going to turn this invitation down. I'm not going to turn this invitation down. I want to say, if you are not yet a Christian, investigate Jesus' claims. We can help you in that in a real meaningful way. Don't ignore that. But for those of us who are Christians, two things. The first thing is revel in what you've actually received. Because sometimes we know the gospel story that Jamie was preaching. We just know it and it becomes just part of our lives. We need to revel in it. It is amazing that you've been invited. You could easily, like all of you suckers who didn't get one of these on Friday, you could have missed out. But you have been invited. Don't say no. The second thing was, it's easy for us to shut doors on Jesus. So we open our lives to Jesus and we say, come in, and then, oh, but not in that area, not in that area. I've got a whole lot of doors closed in my life. And I would encourage you this morning to have what I call an open posture to Jesus, which is just saying, Jesus, here's my life. I want you to have access to all rooms. You can come and do what you like in my life. And that would be my challenge to all of us who are Christians. And if you're not yet a Christian, to make a response. Jamie, won't you close for us in prayer and finish up?
Father God, we thank you for your incredible goodness. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for that invitation. That you invite us to have a relationship with you. Lord, you want us just as we are. And Lord, I thank you that we don't have to get our lives together or even feel ashamed, God, but you love us just as we are. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does feel that shame and guilt and think there's no way anyone could love me, Lord, would they know that you lavish your love on them and the incredible goodness of you. If you're here this morning and haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, and you've heard the message this morning that Jesus knocks at the door of your heart this morning, and today you want to make a decision to let him in, won't you just raise your hand and I'm going to pray a simple prayer that you can pray with me. If you just want to accept Jesus into your heart, just simply raise your hand. He's knocking at the door of your heart this morning. Okay, let me pray. If you've raised your hand, or you just want to say it into your heart, just repeat these words after me. Dear God, I thank you for the incredible love that you have for me. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die in my place. Lord, I am sorry for what I have done wrong. I am sorry for turning my back on you. And I want to choose today to open the door to you and let you into my heart. And may I live for you all the days of my life. Amen.